So your home didn't sell the first time. Are you fed up? It's time to make a change. Hire the Selling with CC team to get your home sold. We like houses to sell, not sit. To schedule an appointment, go to sellingwithcc.com.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. We go back to 1974, April 25th. This was the day that the NFL literally moved the goalposts on us. We always hear that expression. They did it. They used to be on the goal line all the way up until 1974, Logs, and they didn't move them because of safety reasons. They moved them because they felt like games were becoming too predictable because the kickers were becoming too accurate. This is in 1974, so they moved them to the back of the end zone to encourage offenses to be more aggressive in the later stages of football games to try to score touchdowns. Whether that worked or not, I'm not sure, but certainly moving it off the goal. And could you imagine now trying to go the reverse direction and say, hey, we're going to put this goalpost right here where the quarterback sneak is about to occur? How's that going to go over? Probably not very well.
I think they should go back to moving it back where it was, but instead of having the single post in the middle, they have two.
Have like the double post. The old school double post. Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. On this date in 1991, Lisa Olson brought suit against the National Football League's New England Patriots for sexual harassment. Remember the stories? She was in the Patriots locker room and among the transgressors, Zeke Mowat, tight end from Florida State University, who exposed himself to Lisa Olson. And it was one of the landmark cases in terms of sexual harassment in the workplace, certainly in the sports landscape. Victor Kiam was the owner of the team. Remember, he made the joke.
He didn't have a very good response.
No, he didn't. He made the joke about the Iraqis seeing about as many Patriot missiles as Lisa Olson had.
Not a good thing to say.
Yes.
But I remember, because I was playing during that time frame, and, the whole concept of having women in the locker room was just totally foreign. But then once, as my career progressed, seeing a woman in the locker room was not a big deal. You learn to adapt, and not a big deal.
Exactly. Now, at the time, though, it was a big deal. Patriot fans harassed Olson. Her tires were slashed. She got hate mail and death threats. Her apartment was burglarized to the point where her employer needed to move her out of that market to another city. You know where he moved her? Sydney, Australia. That's how far she went to get away from, because she felt like the atmosphere in the United States was so negative towards her at the time. She's gone on to win, all kinds of major reporting prizes. She was a legit hardcore journalist and obviously the face of the sexual harassment epidemic, or whatever you want to call it, back in the early 90s. Famous birthdays for this date: Randy Cross, longtime 49er offensive lineman, turned 63 years old today, three-time Pro Bowler. Art Schliester.
Very good broadcaster, by the way.
Yeah, he is. So with CBS, still getting the job done. Art Schliester, born in this date in 1960, he turns 57. Schliester, in his last 3 years at Ohio State, was top six in the Heisman voting every single time. He's the fourth overall pick of the Colts in 82. He only played in 13 games with a starting record of 0-6 in his career. He, of course, ran into
Did he bet on 0-6 games?
He may have, and he covered his end of it. He, by his own account, committed over 20 felonies in his life, many of them gambling-related, and is a cautionary tale there. Darren Woodson, born in the state in 1969, a five-time Pro Bowler. Also, D'Angelo Williams, played the last 2 years with Pittsburgh after a long career with Carolina, currently unemployed right now. He is 34 years old. And the Houston Texans starting running back Lamar Miller turned 26 years old today. That's this date in football history, brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, conveniently located on Gate Parkway. If you're in the market for a family dentist or you need any kind of cosmetic work done, pick up the phone and call 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com. Get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That was this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Adrian Peterson has finally found a new football home. 2 months into free agency, Peterson, who has rushed for over 11,000 yards in his career, all in a Minnesota Vikings uniform, will be signing with the New Orleans Saints. It's a two-year deal with the first-year guarantee. The second year could be picked up as an option. Peterson will get $3.5 million this season, could get a total of $8.25 million in the 2 years if he's able to hit all of his incentives. The Buffalo Bills did not match the offer sheet for running back Mike Gillisley, so the 26-year-old former Gator will now join the New England Patriots. The signing of Gillisley likely means that the Patriots are no longer working to re-sign free agent runner LeGarrette Blount, who rushed for 18 touchdowns last season with the Patriots. The Pats have also signed Rex Burkhead in free agency from Cincinnati to add to their backfield this offseason. Running back Deontay Foreman spoke with the NFL Network yesterday and shared that his infant son died during the season last year at Texas. Foreman said that his son was born prematurely, died at just 7 weeks old during the Texas Longhorns game week against Texas Tech last November. Foreman ran for a career-best 341 yards and three touchdowns in the game, while on the way to leading the nation in rushing yards last season, finishing eighth in the Heisman voting. He said, quote, "It was something about that game. It was like, I'm doing it for my son. I'm leaving it all out here." Jabril Peppers revealed yesterday that he, too, had a diluted sample at the NFL Combine, and he, like linebacker Reuben Foster, saying that it's a result of him overhydrating. Caleb Brantley, who was charged with misdemeanor battery on Sunday, entered a plea of not guilty yesterday. That is the Honda Drive around the NFL.
Logs, overhydrating, you buying it?
No.
Just asking, because the look on your face didn't necessarily come through the radio dial when you heard that. Somebody asked, could Jabril Peppers fall to the Jags at 35? Certainly he could now.
I think that's his natural place anyway.
Right. A lot of people thought he was much more so than in the early part of the process. People say, oh, this guy's a top 10 pick. He's a playmaker. Would he be a fit for the Jags? Putting aside the if you knew Jabril Peppers was never going to get in trouble off the field again, would he be a fit for the Jags at 35?
With the reported positive test, probably not.
But taking that out, just from a football standpoint.
The question, Mark, that I have on him is that where is he going to play?
Right.
Is he going to be a safety or is he going to be a linebacker? You know, and
I think he thinks he's going to be a safety in the National Football
League. Yeah, probably so. But he is strictly a box safety. You know, I don't think he. First of all, when you watch him in coverage, he doesn't have a lot of skills. It doesn't have a lot of anticipation.
Make a lot of plays on it, not turnovers, things like that, not the splash plays.
I think he's strictly a Jonathan Cyprian type box safety.
All right. Well, I take that as a big fat
But I think that he has a more of a quick twitch skill set than Jonathan. So I mean, he may be more effective in the box than Cyprian.
Granted, but why?
We're talking about
Barry Church in place, right? Why would you spend a top 40 pick on a
box
safety?
Position? You don't.
All right, let's have your weekly dose of dailies. Place David Altman joins us now to talk about all the latest going on with dailies, including the big announcement that came out yesterday. Kings of Leon set to play on Wednesday, October 25th. David, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys this morning?
Pretty excited about Kings of Leon, I would imagine, right?
Very excited. I told you last week I promised a big announcement.
You did.
So yesterday I was hoping to break it this morning, but they had to get out a little ahead of me. So
we love to break. We want you to break it only on our segment, although you can do it on Helmets and Heels on Tuesday nights as well. Ticket sales continue to be brisk for Journey and Chicago. What are the shows that are driving the most excitement right now?
I mean, driving the most excitement right now, opening weekend, Tedeschi Trucks, local guys. Obviously, Dave Matthews, Tim Reynolds sold out pretty quickly, and then Train OAR and Natasha Bedingfield. That opening weekend is picking up now. We're just over a month out from opening, and it's really exciting around here right now.
All right, so I got a question. What's it going to take for me to get two to the Tedeschi truck?
Well, we've got some great premium seat options. You can buy the entire season in the Terror Suite, air conditioning, private restrooms.
Thank you.
Jeff, I got a guy you can talk to.
I'm looking for two really good seats for that one.
I got a guy.
63-2000. Right. It would be a good place to start.
I'm a season ticket holder, you know.
You should be getting pre-sale emails then.
I didn't.
I don't know about that.
I didn't.
Check your spam settings.
I'm going to get somebody in trouble.
Or did you unsubscribe?
Well, I've not subscribed.
Wait, I think you're automatically
subscribed. I figure since I'm in a building often, I wouldn't need to subscribe to an email.
No.
It'd be like, hey, you want this, right?
Derek Trucks, Susan Tedeschi, apparently were touring the facility last week. Is that
they
right?
They did. They took some photos down in the amp with their own JP Shadrick. Took them on a tour. They obviously will be opening up the show. Couldn't imagine a better way than a great local flavor to open up an iconic venue in Jacksonville.
They rock.
You
can't kill it.
You haven't been taken care of until JP Shadrick takes care of you either.
JP's big around here.
You feel like you've really been treated well at this point in time.
He's like the mayor of Everbank.
No question.
Yeah.
The hospitality guy.
Yeah.
Kind of, right?
Yeah.
He, you know, introduces the new signees and draft picks, picks them up at the airport, that kind of stuff, and welcomes them to Jacksonville among his many duties. Every seat, an actual seat, that's one thing we don't talk about a whole lot. There's not bleacher seating.
Every seat with arms, nice, comfortable seat. Actually, seating started getting installed yesterday. When you look at it from the street, you don't think so, but seating companies started coming in yesterday. They started putting in the rails, which the seats will be installed on. Jeff and I were talking earlier. I got out there for the first time in a couple weeks to get down to the nitty gritty. Was climbing up wooden ladders and dress shoes and a shirt and tie yesterday, which was a lot of fun. And got to go take some pictures of the views from the actual precast seating decks that are in there. And man, there isn't a bad seat in the house.
The radio guys
it's
are like
tight
suit and tie.
I mean, it's awesome. It's tight.
Oh yeah, it's going to be phenomenal.
When you say there's not a bad seat in the house, there is not.
It's such a different feel than a traditional amphitheater when you think of a big, widespread lawn, whereas here, your furthest seat away is really about 125, 130 feet. I mean, it's crazy.
Mm. Can't wait.
Reminder also this Thursday, the Bud Light Draft Show presented by PRI Productions this Thursday from 6 until 10 in the FanDuelville area in the north end zone. You have to pre-register at jaguars.com/2017draft. Logs, I presume you will be a part of that broadcast along with Frank and Tony and the crew.
Yeah, well, you know, Frank's going to carry the show.
Of course.
But I'll be there to help.
Yeah, after we drop you off to him, after we carry you up to the stage at that point in time. So excited about that. Anything else, David, that we need to hit on before we set you loose for the week?
You know, I think we're good with the draft coming up. The schedule coming out last week, it's going to be real exciting. We've promised to have a show before every home game, so it'll be weekend in downtown Jacksonville before every Jaguars home game. So looking forward to a great concert season and football season starting in about 33 days.
Yeah,
sorry, 32 days from today.
Start filling up quickly.
Yeah,
when you say that before every home game, Fridays or Saturdays?
Saturday night before every home game.
Sweet.
How about that?
Yeah, hopefully they're not going to be too late, so I can make a couple of them, you know, without, like, waking up the next day.
There's got to be a place you can crash at the stadium.
That here
you
know, for
when
you.
It gets late on Saturday night, it's hard to talk the next day.
Uh-huh. Hey,
these guys might appreciate that.
For everybody out there, like Jeff Loggeman, if you, too, want some a hookup on good tickets, just call 633-2000, just like Jeff is going to do after the program today.
I'm going to walk down the hall.
He's going to see if he knows anybody.
You know where my desk is.
David, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you guys.
We'll talk to you next week. They're your weekly dose of Daily's Place. Find out what's happening at Jacksonville's soon-to-be-open entertainment venue here adjacent to Everbank Field. Logs, before we get Tony Pauline on the other side, I just wanted you to go on record, your opinion, because we can't know. Mm-hmm. Is Joe Mixon still on the Jaguar draft board?
If I had to guess, no.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. We don't
and
know.
And I don't have any insight, any information.
Right. And even if they don't draft him, doesn't you know, we still may not know.
I can tell you that if I had him on my board, which, you know, I don't have a board, but if I had one, I wouldn't have
Tony and I wouldn't draft him. Does that mean Caleb Brantley off your board as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to, right? Under the
because of the unknown.
Right. And in a way,
there's
almost
too many prospects to worry about making a mistake.
Right. Especially early, if you're going to have to pull the trigger on one of these guys early. Now, you know, at least with Mixon almost has the benefit of this happening a while back, and he's had time to, at least for the minds he can change, he's had time to do that. Brantley is in a position where this is the last impression he's leaving a lot of draft folks.
No question, but the video never goes away.
This is true. And whatever city drafts him can be in the third round, fourth round, could be as a free agent. It's going to be one of the first things that leads the local sports and newscasts for quite a while.
And I have a big problem with that.
What he did.
Not with the video.
No, what he did.
But, how does anybody even react like that? How are you wired if you react like that?
Right. All right.
To me, that wiring doesn't change.
Well, let's take a time out here. We will come back. Tony Pauline, draftanalyst.com is our guest coming up next as we get into the last 48 hours worth of scuttlebutt about what's happening with the NFL draft coming up in just 2 days. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Jeff Loggeman here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Today. The NFL offseason on 1010XL is brought to you by TireOutlet.com. The NFL Draft. Follow every possibility, position, and pick. Brought to you by the personal injury law firm of Harrell & Harrell and Performance Painting. Quality coatings applied with pride.
Marine Max invites you to Cheeseburgers in Paradise, a celebration of the boating lifestyle. Saturday, April 29th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Spend the day enjoying island music, good friends, beer, and of course, cheeseburgers. Learn and share tips and plans for the upcoming boating season and be part of the fun as you enjoy your cheeseburger in paradise. The Marine Max Jacksonville team will help you find your dream boat. Don't miss this chance to take the helm.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Metro Rooter, you've probably heard of us. It's no accident that by providing same-day service, professional technicians, and the right equipment, hundreds of businesses count on us every week to keep their drains draining, their plumbing functioning, and their pumps pumping. I'm Tom McLaughlin, CEO of Metro Rooter, and if you are a current customer of ours, I want to thank you for your continued confidence in Metro Rooter. If you'd like to contact Metro Rooter, the plumbing service you can trust, we're on the web at metrorooter.com or just call 695-1911. Thank you.
Now that should take care of any problem. Wild West Guns and Gold is always there for you because even a 60-second response time is not enough. Wild West Guns and Gold only buys dealer direct and passes the savings directly on to you. Not only does Wild West Guns and Gold guarantee the best price every time, they have the best selection on everything from handguns to military assault rifles. Call 693-0777 or visit gunsforjax.com. That's guns, the number four, JAX.com for more information.
With so many companies offering digital services these days, who can you trust? The answer? 3D Digital. 3D is a full-service digital agency specializing in display banner campaigns, social media management, website development, you name it. They even have full-scale video production in-house. In fact, at 3D Digital, nothing is outsourced, which means you get the service you need when you need it. What a concept. If you own a business, call 3D Digital today, 330-0904, or log on to 3ddigital.com.
I'm here with Clayton Bromberg of Underwoods. Clayton, I've seen ads for diamonds. We see the words all diamonds certified by IGI, EGL, or GIA. The heck does all that mean?
David, it's got to be confusing because all those letters represent various diamond grading laboratories. However, it's important to point out that these labs don't issue certificates and they certify nothing. They issue diamond grading reports. Generally speaking, some of the laboratories are considered more accurate than others, and that's why at Underwoods we only use grading reports from the Gemological Institute of America, or GIA, and the American Gem Society Laboratory, or AGSL. Both of these laboratories issue grading reports on diamonds' color, clarity, and carat weight, but on round brilliant diamonds, the American Gem Society Lab assigns a cut grade composed of proportion, symmetry, and polish. The cut grade can go from the zero ideal to a 10, which is very poor. This allows us to show a customer how these factors will affect a diamond's ability to handle light and overall affect beauty and value. So if you're shopping for a diamond and are interested in seeing the best, come by Underwoods.
Get your Jags news first. 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Hey, Hicken here for my friends at Mattress Firm. The final days of Mattress Firm's once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get savings of a lifetime on tens of thousands of top-quality mattresses from the best-name brands. Now, I told you about this for a while. They're clearing out tens of thousands of famous-name brand floor models and mattresses in stock. And to make room for the latest in technology and innovation, Mattress Firm offering top-name brands at historic savings. I'm talking 70% off, up to $2,000 off of floor models. They all got to go to make room for the next generation of sleep products. This buying opportunity will only last as long as these mattresses are in stock. In other words, once they're gone, they're gone. So don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to sleep and save like never before while supplies last, only at Mattress Firm. Plus, gang, check this out. Sleep interest-free until 2022. That's right, I said it. Mattress Firm, you're going to save some money, and trust me, you're going to sleep happy.
At Michelob Ultra, we don't just watch around. We share around. So when the world's best golfers come to town schooling you on how the game is played and you're outside the ropes in the gallery, share around with us. Brewed for golf fans who appreciate the superior things in life, from watching the best of the best hit it pure down the fairway to enjoying exceptional tasting beer. Just 95 calories and 2.6 carbs. Michelob Ultra, proud to support the PGA Tour and be the local beer sponsor of the Players' Championship May 9th through the 14th. Enjoy responsibly. 2017 Michelob Ultra Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Your three answers from winning. Which Spanish explorer sought the Fountain of Youth?
Ponce de Leon?
Close enough. What semi-aquatic, egg-laying mammal lives in eastern Australia?
Ooh, duck-billed Let it puff.
Close enough. You win.
But I only answered two.
Now a word from our sponsor.
With one off from the Florida Lottery, miss by one on any or all numbers and still win. It's your ticket to making close enough good enough to win. One off. Now available for pick 2, 3, 4, and 5 games. The Florida Lottery. Just imagine. Must be 18 or older to play. Play responsibly.
Hey, this is Tony from Tony D's Pizza. Come in on Tuesdays. It's 2 for Tuesdays at Tony D's. Buy a 14 or 16-inch pizza. Get a second pizza absolutely free. The best in authentic New York pizza and pasta. Tony D's Pizza and Restaurant, Bay Meadows and 9A, behind Walgreens.
It's Pink Out the Players on Championship Sunday. For a chance to win tickets and a Pink Out prize package, including tickets for Sunday, text PINK to the 1010XL text line, 641-1010. Learn more at theplayerschampionship.com.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we continue along here. Jeff Loggeman in studio with us. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you as well, as we are joined now by Tony Pauline, draftanalyst.com, and the biggest Led Zeppelin fan you know.
Great song right there.
It's a great band, great song, great everything. Tony Pauline will cite chapter and verse. If you want to talk music, we can do that for the next 10 minutes. I guarantee you he's down with that. No question. Good morning, Tony Pauline. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing better now that I get the introduction with some Zeppelin. It's always a good day to start it with Zeppelin. So,
we can talk Zeppelin for the next 10 minutes.
I'm into that.
All right, Tony, my first question, greatest Zeppelin album?
Oh, Physical Graffiti. Not even a question. Physical Graffiti, in my opinion, is the greatest album, period. Not just the best Zeppelin album, but hands down, not even close.
Logs, Descent, you agree?
I like their live one that they did at the O2 Arena. For me personally, that's hands down the best one.
All right. Well, guess what?
What was that called again, Tony?
I'm sorry?
Do you remember what that album was called when they did that live at the O2 Arena?
That's what it was called, Live from the O2 Arena. Actually, the movie was called Celebration Day.
Celebration Day, okay.
And there was no real album. It was a 2007, the DVD came with the CDs, which came with the book, and it was actually Celebration Day, which was a Zeppelin song, or a song from Zeppelin 3, a great song from Zeppelin 3 called Celebration Day.
Yeah, it's kind of a compilation of all the greatest hits, but if you're going to buy one CD, which CDs aren't even being sold anymore, are they?
Yeah, they are. You can still get CDs.
Okay. If you're going to buy one thing, one piece of work by Zeppelin, to me, that's it.
If they didn't still sell CDs, I would have not heard any new music in a long time. I have yet to download a single song, ever.
Really?
Yeah. I don't have iTunes. I don't download songs.
So. You get Spotify.
You go to Amazon, you buy great CDs for $6.
I don't download anything.
I'm a Spotify guy.
Tony knows. All right, Tony. Watch me spin this segue right here. Which guy who is currently a consensus top 10 pick is most likely to drop like a lead balloon throughout this draft? See what I did there?
There you go. We've heard about Reuben Foster. We've heard about Jabril Peppers. The guy who may be a surprise non-selection on day one is Garrett Bowles of Utah. There are some concerns about his age. He's 25 years old. Very low Wunderlich score. May take some time for him to get, to really get into the groove of things. And here's a guy who I believe is still the consensus top left tackle. But when you put all those extra intangibles on the outside together, more I hear is there's a good chance Bowles could fall out of the first round because there's only a few teams in the bottom half of round one who are going to take him. So he may be there for round two when the Jaguars are called to the clock.
Tony, the Jaguars have been connected so often to running back in this draft. Leonard Fournette's the name that we hear most often. When you look at the top three kind of consensus backs in this draft with Fournette, Cook, and McCaffrey, do you think any of these guys are scheme-dependent at all, as in they need to go to the right place, be in the right fit, right kind of system for them to really excel in the league?
McCaffrey, because I don't think he's a feature runner. I think he's a guy that he's going to need a system where maybe he carries the ball 8 to 12 times a game out of the backfield. Maybe you use him as a receiver, 4 to 5 times out of the backfield. You line him up in the slot a half a dozen times. You line him up at receiver a couple times a game, and he's your return specialist. So I think McCaffrey's the guy who's going to have to basically have a scheme fit around him, where Dalvin Cook and Leonard Fournette are true feature backs.
The one guy that I'm absolutely in love with, Tony, and I think he's the best offensive lineman in the draft, hands down, and it's not even close, is Forrest Lamp. How high could he be drafted?
He could go to Washington, but I think right now it looks all signs point to the Miami Dolphins, who are keying on him. They like his versatility. They like the fact that he's probably the most NFL-ready of all the offensive linemen. He has the least amount of downside risk. Maybe Washington. There's some thought about Denver. I think eventually he's going to end up in the state of Florida with the Miami Dolphins.
By the way, Washington's got the 17th pick in the draft, Denver 20th, and Miami 22nd. So somewhere, looks like, in that middle first-round range. Tony, let's look at some of these Florida Gators and their draft stock as the draft approaches in just a couple of days. Looks like Jared Davis has really solidified himself as a first-round pick. Tell us what you hear about him. And Marcus May seems to be the hot name as well.
Yeah, well, Jared Davis is probably one of the fastest risers right now. You know, it came out late that he was going to be a first-round pick. As I reported the other day, there are some teams that view him as a top 20 player. So he could end up with the Indianapolis Colts of 15, especially as we're watching Reuben Foster drop down draft boards a little bit. He's a three-down defender, very good run, very good against the run, can also be used on third and five in coverage. Does have some injury issues, which has raised some red flags, but he's going to go earlier than most expected. And Marcus May, I don't think he's going to sneak into the first round. I think he's going to be off the board the top 10 to 15 picks of round two. Scouts gave Marcus May a higher grade this year than they gave Keanu Neal a year ago, and Keanu Neal was the 17th pick of the draft.
Wow.
I think May is just a guy who's very underrated, was very overlooked because they had Tease Tabor in that backfield. They had Quincy Wilson. But if you watch the film, Marcus May was a guy that just consistently made positive plays on the ball against the run, against the pass. He's a solid athlete. He's a three-down safety. He's not just a downhill guy. He can go sideline to sideline in center field. I think he's going to go a little bit earlier than people suspect.
Jared Davis, good football player. But Tony, the guy that I like, maybe even a little bit better than Jared Davis, is Zach Cunningham from Vanderbilt, a guy that can play certainly all three downs. What are you hearing on him?
You know, I agree with you. I actually have Zach Cunningham rated higher than Jared Davis. He's bigger. He's just as athletic. He's got probably a better sideline to sideline range. He's got more upside. The thing about when you compare the two, Jared Davis may be a little bit more NFL ready. He doesn't have as much downside because he has a more complete game. But I think 2 or 3 years down the road, when you look back at this draft, Cunningham could be one of the steals because he's probably going to go. If he goes in the first round, he could go late part of the first round to a team like Oakland. Otherwise, he's going to fall into those first five selections, first six selections of round two. But I agree with you. I mean, he's a three-down defender, which he's a good football player now with a tremendous amount of upside, who, if coached properly, is going to be a dynamite linebacker down the road.
We've all heard the noise about what's going on with Cleveland, the stuff I just don't believe about them being still debating what they're doing with that number one pick. But the more interesting stories, at least for Jacksonville, are the ones that seem to imply that Cleveland may be looking to trade up from 12 to get back to a spot where they can get the quarterback they want, Mitchell Trubisky being the guy that's connected to him constantly. How much do you buy the idea of Cleveland moving from 12 to get back into the top 5 or 6 to go get a quarterback?
Oh, I absolutely believe it. And the fact is this is, you know, in the offseason, Cleveland made all these moves, all these maneuvers to bring in all this, these extra picks, all this ammunition, because they thought that they were going to be able to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. Not going to happen. So now the front office, who made all these moves, feel the need, basically feel the pressure that they better come out of this quarterback, this draft with the quarterback, or they're going to have egg on their face. The coaching staff, understandably, Hugh Jackson and staff wants, they want Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett is a great player. Football coaches want to coach great football players, and Myles Garrett has the potential to be a great football player. So what do you see now is, you know, now you hear that the San Francisco 49ers are considering a quarterback at 2, which I don't buy. I think the San Francisco 49ers are just putting that out there because they want to trade down. New Orleans is considering a quarterback, and they pick ahead of the Cleveland Browns with the 11th selection. So I do believe that you've got all, they got all these extra picks because they thought they were going to be able to pull off a trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. Not going to happen. I think that the Browns will ultimately have to trade back into the top 10 to either Jacksonville or the New York Jets after they take Myles Garrett so they can secure Mitchell Trubisky and make everybody in that front office happy. And if history has shown us anything, the Cleveland Browns don't do a good job when they trade back, trade further into the first round to get a quarterback, whether it's Brady Quinn, whether it's Johnny Manziel, a kid from Oklahoma State who did nothing, doesn't work out for him.
Whedon, yeah.
Tony, the wide receiver position, obviously not one that's a glaring need for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but there's a lot of conversation about the guys at the top, Mike Williams, John Ross, Corey Davis, and watched film on a lot of those three guys. My favorite is Corey Davis. Who is yours?
If he's healthy, Mike Williams. Slightly bigger. Does a better job going up for those contested passes. Really is a guy who can be a game controller. I think Corey Davis may be a little bit more well-rounded. Don't think that he did it as good, against as good competition as Mike Williams did. I don't think there's a whole lot of separation between the two. Davis is faster. Williams is stronger. It depends on, you know, it's all in the eye of the beholder. I like Williams by a slight bit.
All right, Tony, stack the board. If you're selecting for the Jags, and we assume that Myles Garrett goes first overall, give us your three-player wish list of who the Jags should hope is available. One of them's guaranteed to be there at four, but how would you prioritize the top three players for Jacksonville if they stay at number four, assuming Myles Garrett's off the board?
Number one would be Solomon Thomas. I don't think he's going to be there. Number two is going to be Jonathan Allen of Alabama. I think he will be there. The third one would be Leonard Fournette, and I think he's going to be there. So I think that if I was making the call, two of the three guys that I hope will be there will be on the clock when the Jaguars are called and their selection is up. And then obviously there's the potential to trade down. You know, I went back and I looked at when Tom Coughlin was with the Giants, and Tom Coughlin with the Giants had basically defensive heavy drafts at the top of the draft. A lot of defensive linemen, not really no running backs, except the one year they drafted the kid from Wisconsin, Ron Dane, who really didn't pan out. So, I mean, if history tells us anything with Tom Coughlin, it's probably going to be a defensive lineman.
How much of a factor would O.J. Howard be there at number four for the Jags?
Based on the history of Coughlin, based on the fact that you've got other players like the ones I mentioned on the defensive side of the ball, like Leonard Fournette, who are higher rated than O.J. Howard, I think it would be a reach. And I think that with Coughlin there, Jaguars are going to start to look at best player available rather than just filling holes, you know, with good players. I like O.J. Howard, but I just don't think he grates as the fourth player in the draft.
Where do you talked highly of Solomon Thomas. The question that I have on him is, where is he going to play? Is he going to play inside? Is he going to play outside? Where are some of the people talking about his ultimate home being?
Yeah, and that's a good question. I think the ultimate home is either end in a four-man front or as a two-gap end. But I think to start off with, he's going to be a defensive end, probably over right tackle in a four-man front until he physically matures and is able to hopefully add some bulk to that frame, although his frame looks kind of maxed out. I think the fact is he's a tremendous football player. So he can basically be used all around the field as he gets older, as he gets a little bit more experience. He's an intense guy. He's a terrific athlete. And I think those will be the overriding factors. It'll be a situation where you can basically line him up eventually anywhere on the defensive line, and he'll do a good job for you.
All right, here's another question. You're on the clock, and Takaris McKinley, Charles Harris, and Derek Barnett are there for your taking, and you can only take one of those three. Who would you take?
It depends on what type of defense I'm running. You know, if I'm
running a 4-3.
I'm running a 4-3, then it's Derek Barnett. I think Charles Harris and Tack McKinley, while they are excellent pass rushers, are more of a liability against the run than Barnett is. Barnett is not a great run defender, but I think with the other two guys, teams will be able to run at him and pick up big yardage because they're undersized. They're more basically up the field guys. Barnett would do an easier job holding the point. All three of them are great pass rushers, but in a four-man front, I take Barnett.
Tony, looking at what the Jags have done in the last few years, they got value on guys like Aaron Colvin because of his injury caused him to slide. Telvin Smith, because of a failed test at the combine, caused him to slide. I'm looking at the rankings at draftanalyst.com. You guys still have Sidney Jones out of Washington rated just on talent as your seventh best overall player. With the Achilles injury, where do you expect him to come off the board? At what point does he become a value pick just to stash him for a year?
You know, I was told last night, and I'm still waiting on it, that there's a medical report that was done by Dr. James Andrews that is very favorable to Sidney Jones, and he may make a recovery and may be back on the field a lot sooner than people think. Still waiting to see that, to have that in my possession. I was told that that's what the case is. I mean, I think once you get past that 65th pick, you have to start to think about Sidney Jones. See, it's not just the fact that it's an injury. It's an Achilles injury to a cornerback, and all that ankle movement, the turning, the transitioning to turn and run downfield with opponents, the fact that he's going to have to plant and drive off of his foot with that torn Achilles. I mean, that's got to raise some red flags. But still, I mean, the overall skill, I have him as a third, fourth rounder. I think he's going to go somewhere in the beginning of the third round. Wouldn't surprise me if he ends up late in round two.
All right, last question for you here, and we always appreciate your time. On Friday morning, after the first round is completed, what do you think will be the big storyline we're looking back talking about, whether it's four quarterbacks in round one, Joe Mixon surprises in there, a precipitous fall for a highly regarded prospect? What's your best guess as to what the biggest buzz storyline will be on Friday?
Deshaun Watson still available. Deshaun Watson was not taken in the first round. I don't think he's first-round talent. A lot of people are going to raise questions, ask why. But you go back to the film, he's a great college quarterback. He's a true leader. He's got a terrific body of work, just doesn't have an NFL arm. I mean, he's the type of guy, he's more of a game controller at the next level, which is fine. You just have to make sure you have an offense that can control the game. He's the further down the field or out to the flanks he throws the ball, the less accurate it is, the more of an adventure it becomes. And you really don't take game-controlling quarterbacks or guys who are game controllers in the first round. So I think the big story when the draft ends at 11:30 on Thursday night, or the first round ends on 11:30 Thursday night, is Deshaun Watson still on the board.
All right, I got to sneak one more in here, Tony. Mahomes, the quarterback, where do you see him getting drafted?
I think he's going to go a little bit earlier than people expect right now. I think he could end up with the Arizona Cardinals, the 14th pick. He is the opposite of Deshaun Watson. He has those physical skills. He has the best arm in this draft. He has the ability, basically, to make a lot of throws that not only quarterbacks in college can't make, but starting quarterbacks in the NFL can't make, which opens up a whole new avenue for offensive coordinators. The problem with Mahomes is, unlike Deshaun Watson, he doesn't have a big body of work in college. Basically, he took all his snaps out of the shotgun. Limited, if minimal, experience setting up under center and then dropping back into the pocket. So you got a question of, is the arm strength going to be the same, or getting acclimated to that footwork, setting up and driving the ball downfield? Didn't play with a tight end, never played with a fullback, played in the wide open system in the Big 12. So while he's got all the great physical skills, it's going to take him a little bit of time to get accustomed to an NFL-type offensive system.
All right, he is the great Tony Pauline at draftanalyst.com on Twitter, simply at Tony Pauline, spelled just like it sounds. And if you want the buzz, I like the buzz as much as anything. Everybody has a mock draft, and Tony's included in that, but I like the buzz articles, that what he's hearing, ear to the ground kind of stuff. That's the stuff that keeps me going here 48 hours out or so from the NFL draft. Tony, we appreciate all the appearances you've made with us during draft season, and maybe we'll catch up with you one more time post-draft, and you can tell us how well or poorly you think the Jaguars fared.
Absolutely. Enjoy draft weekend, fellas, and good luck to the Jaguars. I hope they do a good job.
All right, thanks, buddy. So do we. There he goes, the great Tony Pauline, draftanalyst.com. We'll come back. I still have a stack of questions for you, Log, so we'll go rapid fire, last 10 minutes or so of the program, see how many we can get in with Jeff Logman and Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey with Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville Sharks, and Jacksonville University. The live sports talk goes late every Wednesday, live from the Mill House with Ken Mara, Chuck Elliott, and Ron Compton. It's Compton and Company, brought to you by United Rentals. Wednesday night at 8.
After a hard day's work.
1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Doing business in North Florida for over 20 years, First Coast Roofing is the only call you need to make for all your roofing needs, residential or commercial, repairs or re-roofs. Call today for a free estimate, 287-7756. How about a roof for as little as $500? First Coast Roofing specializes in roofs damaged by wind or hail and will work with you to file your homeowner's claim with the insurance company. Call Bob Roberts at First Coast Roofing for all your roofing needs, 287-7756. License number CCC-056799.
Performance painting, we're the painting bros. The best in the business, and it really shows. Commercial, industrial, residential too. Performance painting is right for you. Performance painting, you'll be satisfied. Quality coatings applied with pride. Performance.
Do you have glaucoma or high eye pressure? Are your daily eye drops interrupting your life? Local doctors are conducting a clinical research study of an investigational dropless therapy and are in need of participants. You must have glaucoma or high eye pressure in both eyes, be at least 18 years old, and have not had surgery for your glaucoma. Qualified participants will receive study medication at no cost. You will receive regular study-related eye exams by an eye doctor throughout the study. No insurance is needed, and compensation is available. For more information and to see if you qualify, please call 844-3-MY-EYES or visit eyecarestudy.com. That's 844-3-MY-EYES or EYECARE study.com. Limited space is available. Call or visit today. Participation is at no cost, and compensation for time and travel may be available for qualified participants. Visit iCareStudy.com or call 844-3-MY-EYES today.
AM, FM, 1010 XL AM, and 92.5 FM.
Hello, I'm Dan Fields, inviting you to become a member of the Fields family when you buy or lease from any of our 31 locations. We can offer you an advantage in pricing, selection, service, and of course our Fields amenities that include free loaners, car washes, and our gourmet coffee bars. And with more than 35,000 vehicles sold annually, you can get a great offer like this.
And now lease a new 2017 Porsche Cayenne for $775 per month for 39 months with our sign-and-drive special. That's zero due at signing at Porsche Jacksonville.
After all, you're not just treated like family, you are family. And Fields matters because you matter.
Come see Fields first at Porsche Jacksonville on Atlantic Boulevard. Go to PorscheJacksonville.com. Available to qualified lessees. Zero due at lease signing, which includes acquisition fee, dealer dock fee, electronic filing fee, and state rental surcharge. It excludes tax, title, and license. MSRP $69,450. Offer ends 5/1/17.
Only one tournament has the best field in golf. Only one has the most iconic hole in the game, the Island Green. And only one has the greatest stadium on tour, because only one tournament can be the Players' Championship. Now it's your turn to see the top players in the world try to tame the most challenging course in golf. Go to theplayerschampionship.com to get your tickets to the 2017 Players' Championship. The world's greatest golfers will be there. Will you?
I'm Bill Harrell. I grew up on a farm in Florida, and that taught me hard work. The summers in the fields, there are no shortcuts. There are no corners you can cut. The difference between simply representing a client and doing a good job and representing a client and doing a great job is your commitment to hard work. And I'm proud of Harrell and Harrell because we work hard on behalf of our clients. That's what we do. Harrell and Harrell, don't settle for less than you deserve.
Offices, Jacksonville.
Sam Hunt is coming to the Players' Championship Tuesday, May 9th for a special performance during Military Appreciation Day. Text SAM to the 1010XL text line 641-1010 for your chance to win tickets to the show. Learn more at theplayerschampionship.com.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You want to go see the shrimp? Well, you can next Monday, courtesy of us right here at 1010XL. Family four-pack of tickets to see the Jumbo Shrimp take on the Mobile Bay Bears next Monday, May 1st at 12:05 p.m. So a businessman's special kind of deal. If you want a family four-pack of tickets, it's a 12:05 start. So if you want to just, I don't know, party all weekend and discuss the Jaguars draft and take Monday off and go take in a ball game. You can do it courtesy of us if you are the third caller right now at 641-1010. Tyler will hook you up with that four-pack of tickets.
I hope that they have fried shrimp at the Jumbo Shrimp Games.
Wouldn't that be cannibalism?
That's cool. I'm cool with that.
You're down with cannibalism?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Logerman. He's down with cannibalism.
Well, I mean, what would be better than go watch the Jumbo Shrimp and eat fried shrimp and a little cocktail sauce with extra horseradish?
I think they do.
It makes sense.
Yes, I think
cold
they
beer.
Do. What's wrong with eating that anytime, actually?
Nothing.
It's not a big problem. All right, let's get to some rapid-fire questions for you, Jeff, here. We've got a lot of them submitted today. We'll start with this. What are the Jags' top three draft needs? Understanding we don't draft strictly for need, but what are the three biggest holes you think need to be filled on this team?
Offensive line, running back, linebacker help.
Okay. Let's see. What player in the draft, if you know, would add or bring with them that win-the-lunch attitude, the guy that competes and wants to win at everything? In other words, who is the next Jeff Logerman, says Dallas, or asks Dallas?
I don't know, but I can tell you one of the guys that impresses me just because of the way he plays and watching him on film consistently play in, play out, is Jamal Adams, the safety at LSU. And me and Tony were talking about him off the air, and you were in that conversation as well. I don't know if he's worthy of being the fourth overall pick, but as far as of all the guys that I've watched on film, the way he plays the game, I really appreciate the way he plays it.
Everybody calls him the sheriff. They say he's a natural leader and brings a lot of intangibles as well as ability to the four.
I'd be surprised if he's not off the board in the first four picks. I'd be surprised if Tennessee doesn't take him.
Mm-hmm.
With the needs they have on defense, it makes too
much
sense.
Well, they got Jonathan Cyprian, though.
Oh, they do have that.
Enough said. Chad asks, do you think the Jaguars defense, the way it's put together right now, is good enough to be a playoff defense with a less than stellar offense?
No.
Okay. So more so that they need more help from the offense to balance things out?
No, I'm just... I think. Look, you got to have like a Bears defense, and in this day and age,
to carry
a football team, and there's not defenses like that in the National Football League. I mean, you got to have some help from the other side of the ball. Now, if you had a solid running game without a franchise quarterback, yeah, it's good enough defense to get you to the playoffs. But right now, they've got to get better on offense.
All right, here's one from Daniel. Can an elite running back, say Fournette or Cook, have success behind the current offensive line, or should the Jags improve their O-line before pursuing an elite running back?
Well, you always want to improve the offensive line. And I said this last year, and I believe it, that there was a lot of yards left on the table by the running backs. And I think that a guy like Fournette would help that. But you still have to get better on the offensive line, without question.
Okay, let's see this one here. Do you think Solomon Thomas has a higher ceiling than Dante Fowler? I know you're not sure about the position he's going to play.
No, I don't.
You think Fowler has the higher ceiling?
But let me say this. I think that Solomon Thomas is a guy that will achieve every bit of his potential. I think the question mark on Dante Fowler is still there. Is will he achieve or get to the approachable level or approach his ceiling? I don't know that, but I will say about Solomon Thomas, really good football player, but I have concerns about him. I know that a lot of people have him as a top three pick. If you put him next to Barnett from Tennessee, to me, I think they're about equal. So I don't view him as a clear top three type of player. 6'3", 275, doesn't have great edge speed. Doesn't have great power to play inside,
I won't be surprised. We've talked about this off the air as well. I won't be surprised if the Jags pass him if he's sitting there at four.
No, I would not either.
Yeah, so it doesn't mean they hate him as a player. I just don't think necessarily they regard him as highly as some others do.
Typically, Mike, when you're talking about top three, I mean, you're talking about freaks.
Athletic freaks.
Yeah, he's not a freak. He's a really good football player. Now, Myles Garrett is a freak. I mean, you just don't see
people. Is Jonathan Allen in that category?
No, he is not. Jonathan Allen is not in that
category.
So how
many freaks are there? Fournette?
I think Fournette's a freak, and I think Myles Garrett is a freak. I think that's the only two freaks in the draft.
You got a two-freak class.
There's two freaks in my book.
All right. If the Jags were to trade back, or if they just were to decide between Jamal Adams and Malik Hooker, there's a question on here, which one would be a better selection for the Jags if they're going
safety? I'd have
a
hard time taking Hooker.
You would.
I mean, first of all, I think he's got the best range of any safety in many years of watching safeties in the draft. but he misses tackle after tackle, you know, and he's got to be one of those guys that he's going to be a middle, deep third player, and that's where he's going to have to stay, you know, because when he comes up, he misses more tackles than anybody I've maybe ever seen at the safety position.
How is he, like, on tackling on the back end? You know what I mean? Like, is it different where he misses tackles, is moving towards the line of scrimmage, or when he is kind of that safety blanket over the top and somebody completes a pass, is he bad tackling downfield as well?
No, he's not bad tackling when he's in a chase format. It's when he's coming up. When he's
gotcha.
Fronting a tackle, he misses a lot of them.
Let's see what else here. Which player, Pete sends this one, in which player would it be easier to find a similar player to at a later pick? Leonard Fournette, Jonathan Allen, or Cam Robinson?
I don't think it's very difficult to find a similar player like Cam Robinson. I think Cam Robinson is overrated.
Okay. Do you think the Jags like him? I mean, the signs indicate they bring him in here and they work him out there in Tuscaloosa. They've done both with him.
Well, it's because of the glaring need for offensive line help, and I think that's one of the big reasons why. I mean, he's a good football player. He could probably kick inside and play guard for a while, maybe eventually move back out and play tackle, you know, which, you know, that would be a good option for
that's what I think
team.
He's going to be if he were to come here.
But do I think that he's an elite talent that's going to be clearly, you know, stalwart left tackle for a football team going forward? No, I don't think he is.
Have you watched tape on Malik McDowell out of Michigan State?
I have, and he's got unbelievable talent. Very high ceiling, but his floor, I don't know where it is.
How does he compare to Solomon Thomas?
I think he's got a higher ceiling.
Higher ceiling, so,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, but Solomon Thomas's floor?
Way higher.
It's way right. higher.
And there's
keep in mind,
Malik
McDowell thinks the world's flat.
This is true.
And thinks it's an undebatable fact that the world is,
lots
is right?
flat. Yeah, oh yeah.
Really?
And that aliens are real. He tweeted this out like a week
really?
Ago.
Really?
I think
he said,
you could make a case
aliens
for that.
Are real. The world is flat. There is no debate.
Well. There's no debate that the world is round. The aliens is up for debate. I think you can debate that one. That
hey, let me bring something up. You know, I'm a big fan of Mike Mayock. I think he's very accurate in a lot of his comments. And he ranks, you know, every position, you know, top five. And you look at his rankings on the interior defensive lineman. He has Jonathan Allen at number one, which is, I think, I would agree with that. And then he has Chris Wormley, Malik McDowell, Caleb Brantley, Larry Ogunjobi from Charlotte, and then Dalvin Tomlinson from Alabama. I agree with Jonathan Allen. Chris Wormley is a defensive end from Michigan, and I don't think he even belongs on that list. I think he's a stiff. Malik McDowell, I think, has huge upside. Very good football player. Caleb Brantley, big question mark now. The interesting one in this list is Ari Ogunjobi from Charlotte. He has mad skills, but, you know, he's played at Charlotte. You know, so it's kind of hard to, you know, to make that
project.
Yeah, that projection of where he's going to fit in the National Football League level. But as far as interesting talents go, of some of these small school guys, from watching him, I was extremely impressed, not just because of, you know, the production that he had, but how he moves, the size that he has. He's an interesting prospect.
Heard a lot of positive buzz about Dalvin Tomlinson, too, in the last few weeks.
He's a good, solid football player. And, look, the best interior defensive line that Alabama has is probably the junior that's going to be draft eligible next year.
If the Jags draft Jonathan Allen, what are they playing him as?
He's a three technique in the league.
Don't you have that covered?
Yeah.
In spades?
Yes.
So if that's what he is.
You know, he's a defensive end in a 3-4. He could play strong side end, you know, and the scheme that we have become a little bit familiar with, what they do.
But he's
going
not
forward, I don't
is he
know.
Big enough to play nose?
Yeah, he could play some nose because he's strong enough. He's, you know, it's the size with him. I'm not a big concern about him. I look at strength. He's a
right.
very strong football player. He could play nose.
But you think it's ideally a three technique?
I think it is perfect fit as a three technique.
Which the Jags, that's probably arguably their deepest position.
Yeah, probably so.
I mean, on the whole team then.
Well, and could,
put that right up there with wide receiver.
The other thing too, you know, when you evaluate the Jaguars, that, you know, you also look at, okay, who's playing and who's the three technique rushers when they get the nickel.
Right.
Well, the guy you just gave a bunch of money to in Calais Campbell's a three technique pass rusher when they go to nickel.
Right. And you got Malik,
and
you
got Malik,
a couple of young guys.
Yeah, you got a couple of young guys. You know, Sheldon Day, who you think pretty highly of.
Sure.
And I think he's got a good upside.
All right, last one, and we could do this all day, but if they don't draft running back at four,
mm-hmm.
who's the guy? Is there a guy? Let's assume that Cook and McCaffrey are not available to them after the first round. Is there a running back you are in favor of them targeting at some point?
I like the guy that Tony talked about from, was it Texas?
Deontay Foreman.
Yeah, watched him a little bit. He's got a really nice skill set. I think he's a good football player. I like the guy at Tennessee, too, Kamara. I think he's going to be available.
There's a mixed bag of opinions on Kamara.
Yeah, I like him.
Right now.
Yeah, you know, the only thing that I have concern about him is kind of – I like running backs that have the ability to make the home run. And that was one of my criticisms with the drafting of T.J. Yeldon, that he never outruns anybody. And Kamara's a little faster than that, but he doesn't just flat out outrun people. A guy that can go the distance.
We got to wrap it up here, Logs. We appreciate the time. We encourage folks to tune in tomorrow for the Media Mock Draft Year 12, maybe, I think, something like that.
It's a bunch.
We'll carry picks 1 through 16 for us, and then the Midday Chalk will follow with 17 through 32. Jeff, you can hear on Thursday night with Frank Franchi, Tony Buscelli, the whole crew. They'll be broadcasting live from FanDuelville. Get your tickets. Go to Jaguars.com/2017draft, and you can get a voucher to get in for free, but you have to have it with you. So go ahead and take care of that before you show up on Thursday night. Logs, great to have you back in. We'll talk to you soon, buddy. There he goes, Jeff Loggeman, along with Fat Tony. Thanks to Tony Pauline for joining us today. David Altman talking about the latest at Daly's Place. And, of course, Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato. That wraps it up for us. Two merciful days left until the NFL draft. The Midday Chalk is next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey folks, Mike Dempsey here for my friends at Danny Foods. Oh, I've been on Danny's case. Give me some new menu items. Boy, did they bury me in new menu items. In fact, for the rest of April, they've got the sandwich of the month, the Boom Boom Chicken, and it's only available for this deal at Circle K and Kangaroo Express. And what a deal it is. All white meat chicken strips, Boom Boom sauce, pepper jack cheese. Got that kick that gets you going on a locally fresh-baked Parmesan sub roll. A meal at $5, an absolute steal as the sandwich of the month for only $3.99. I'm telling you, it could practically be two meals. It is so big. Absolutely delicious. Summer's coming. Start thinking ahead. Fishing trips, beach days. You know what? You pack the cooler up. Maybe you go old school at the ham and cheese twist out there. They've got the new burger, the cheeseburger, a third pound of charbroiled beef patty, a city block. And that's about the size of it. That's what it's called. Look for these new menu items, including the Boom Boom Chicken at Circle K and Kangaroo Express. And folks, anytime you're hungry for food on the go, do what I do. Go out and make yours a Dandy and do it today.
You guys have a good day. Peace.